All right. That's titled Some Kind of Mean. Some Kind of Mean. David Fathead Newman and James Clay. Newman is on tenor and alto sax. Clay is on tenor sax and flute. Wynton Kelly on piano. Sam Jones on bass and Art Taylor on drums. This is from the album titled The Sound of the Wide Open Spaces. And here we are together again. Hopefully you rested up a little bit over the weekend. I tried. It didn't work. It just did not work. Everybody had something for me to do for them. It's one of those things. So I'll get even. I'll go to sleep, and when I do, I will refuse to wake up until I'm ready. Okay, not until when they're ready, but when I'm ready. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we count ourselves very lucky to be here, alive, this new week. Many people did not make it, as you know, with terrible weather conditions and calamities occurring. And places like in central and southern U.S., Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, and Tennessee. They're still searching feverishly for bodies that might be under rubble or somehow dislodged and in places where people least expect to find them. But it's continuing. The work is continuing. And we should keep them in our best thoughts, hopefully that things would not get any worse than they already are. Meteorologists and climate experts are continuing to study the exact cause or causes of this unusual spate of tornadoes that spread out across the Midwest. But one thing they say is clear. It is not normal weather patterns. These are not normal weather patterns. So they'll be able to tell us more as they study what happened and can put the pieces together. Inevitably, there will be a logical, I imagine, fact-based scientific explanation for Friday's devastation. But will such explanations suffice? They'll be too little too late. In the meantime, to the extent that you can, try to find a way to offer help in your own way through credible organizations that are involved. We have to respond, I think, because people at a time like this, it's a sort of comfort to them that people are thinking of them and hoping for the best. It's a source of comfort. But as we know, this is a very dangerous situation on Friday that developed, and it will take some time before people can figure it out. The people who do this kind of stuff, meteorologists and climate specialists and so forth. Very sad. But what it does tell us at least even now in the early stages of this, in the immediate aftermath of it, it tells us that we really need tighter coordination. And not just in terms of getting people help or getting to people who need help, but strategizing as to how you make easier work. This is not easy work by any means, but it is, it would be helpful if we can see a coordinated effort. And I'm not suggesting that it was not a coordinated effort. It was unbelievably difficult, I'm sure. But in terms of studying what happened, that needs to be coordinated. People need to have the information, whatever is produced as information, and there needs to be wide study of that information to better articulate approaches, especially since these six states are known to be in tornado zones, and they've already had ample proof of it. But I think they have to coordinate more tightly in order to be able to get help faster to localities that really desperately would need them. And also just to have available in preparation for the landing of various tornadoes on different parts of the state, how best to coordinate that effort. It's easier said than done. You know, everybody is an expert now after the fact. But there has to be something unique that the United States can contribute to this phenomenon if at all things were coordinated well. And therefore, the research and the materials that they gather could make incredible sense and would have a long life in terms of instructing people what to expect and how to bear, you know, bear a devastating onslaught like this. It's, I can't imagine how I would cope. I can't imagine it. We've had some dicey situations in New York City and even here in Florida, where I am now. But I can't imagine myself being in a situation like these folks were in and having to still maintain, you know, a level head, because lives are depending on it, including one's own. Very sad. Very sad. So it would be a sign of hope, I think, if we see emerging from this situation tighter coordination and planning literally related to sustaining life in the midst of it all. You have to help people stay alive. So that was my immediate reaction. I thought that a serious planning should occur in any part of the United States. And I'm not suggesting that there's no plan. Don't get me wrong. People are doing monumental work in trying to respond sensibly and innovatively to disasters, especially those areas that are prone to these kinds of disasters. But this has to be undertaken as a special project, because I think the world may benefit from it. There are places all over the world that are plagued by weather-related tragedies. And you can see how they struggle to cope. But we need a bit more science here so that people could anticipate what is about to happen. Plans are in place to get to safer ground. And, you know, you just try your best to safeguard your life. That is very, very important. I watched whatever was shown. I saw it, and I kept saying, sending out thought after thought after thought, please be alive. Please be alive. Please be alive. It is so sad that when people are already under the yoke of oppression, many of us, that on top of that, we have piled onto it all these attacks and threats. And, you wonder, did I do something wrong? Or why is this coming at us so swiftly and in such copious amounts of worry and fear? I think the folks need some very special care, and it needs to be seen as such. Not doing anybody any favors. This is what a country does when it recognizes the humanity in everybody. And I'm hoping that we will soon see and hear messages in that regard. Okay, again, if you can find a way to help, please try and help. But look for organizations that have a good track record of helping, organizations that are credible and that have been located in the communities that people trust them. Okay. So I now talk about a second go at it. She was New York State's Attorney General, and she was seeking re-election up until recently. Then, seeing an opening available for governor, and having herself been responsible for bringing sexual harassment and misconduct charges against then Governor Andrew Cuomo on behalf of several women, she again seems to believe that opportunity is knocking on the door. So Letitia James is running for governor again. What do you think of her decision? In the end, it's her decision, but what do you think about it? 888-874-4888. Should she run again for the office that she ran from, or should she just follow another path? What do you think? 888-874-4888. You know, she's besotted by good fortune, it seems. Many people can't get to step one. But here she is. She has had exposure, and she has had recognition, and she believes her time has come. So she's running again. It's back on. She's running for Attorney General again. Is that a good move or not particularly good move? And why? What do you think? What would you counsel her to do if she is to be counseled and we presume that she would listen? What would you say to her about this particular decision? Any ideas? 888-874-4888. What do you think? Well, clearly we see a very, very ambitious person. And we can't doubt her conviction that this is her time, that the cards are in her favor. And so she might as well make the best of it or lose it outright. But she may have a chance running again, but that comes with some other kind of baggage. What do you think? 888-874-4888. I always wonder why people are so reluctant to jump into the fray and tell us what they're thinking. This is an unusual set of circumstances in that I don't recall the last time when, or perhaps the exception here might be Shirley Chisholm, who had a hard way to go when she was trying to run for Congress. And it was a pile of discouragement after discouragement, hoping that she would just get out of the race or even not start. And here we're seeing something of it again. Whose decision is it? Of course, it's ultimately Letitia James's decision. But we can't deny it's a little dicey for a couple of reasons. If you were advising her, what would you say to her? What would you advise her to do? She's declared she's going to run again, so that part is done. But what do you think she faces this time around? 888-874-4888. Neil from Connecticut, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air, Neil.
Greetings to you and to listening audience and to the family.
Thank you. To you too.
Thank you. There is a program, it's pre-recorded, but it follows you every Wednesday. The name of this gentleman, who sounds a lot younger, I believe, than his actual years, is Dane, D-A-N-E, Wigington. And I believe it is W-I-G-G-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Yes.
The name of the program is Global Alert News. The website is G-O-G-E-O, Engineering, Watch, as in wristwatch, well, as in watch what's going on, .org, geoengineering.org. This man lives in California. He has submitted reams, stacks, and piles of accumulated factual studies and information to the office of Governor Gavin Newsom. He delivered these materials personally, put them on.
You get to the question at hand at some point soon.
The question is, Mr. Wigington's program is the scariest program on the entire PRN network. I believe there's a lot of listeners who are hearing my voice right now who don't tune it in because they can't handle the real truth. And that's what I'm calling to say, that Dane Wigington has the real truth about all these weather events, Eutrice. And I pray
okay,
to God.
But here's the thing. We have a topic in play, and you've taken us right off course.
No,
nothing
I believe you asked.
Nothing said so far relates to the topic that was introduced. Do you have a comment or observation to make on the topic that was introduced?
Well, I believe one of the questions you asked was, we must determine the causal factors.
Yes, but that's a whole different subject.
I'm sorry. I thought that was the opening topic.
No.
First, I prayed for all the dead and injured, and then I decided to call in.
Okay.
Because we have to face what's really causing these weather events. That's all I have to say.
And all right. Thank you.
There are hundreds of listeners right now.
Started in that direction. Thank you. But we do have a subject in play right now, and that is about the decision of Letitia James, who had been the state attorney general of New York State, who quit and said she was running instead for governor, has reinstated herself as a candidate for the state attorney general's office. Thanks for calling in. Maria from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I think that the advice...
Maria, you'll have to speak up a little bit because you sound very low and it's hard to
hear. Can you hear me now? Can you hear
yes.
me now?
Yes.
I think Ms. James, I would give her some lying advice. Go for it because she's not going to win and she will lose the present job that she has now. Because she is the reason that that the ex-Cuomo governor did not get impeached, because she could have done it, but he let everybody know. 14 days, I'm going to resign. We could have got him for all the things that he had done to numerous women, but she was helping him to not get caught. So she's part of him.
Now, how do you know that she was helping him to not get caught?
Because she could have got him caught with the power that she had, and she went along with, I'm going to leave in 14 days. I'm resigning in 14 days. Okay. And now I hope she does try to get the governor job so that she won't have, she'll lose that one and the one that she's leaving. So she'll just be out there. Good for her.
Wow. You're pretty harsh.
No, I'm not harsh. Sometimes truth is harsh, Mama Sita. Sometimes truth is harsh. It's harsh.
Mm-hmm. But you think she will lose?
Of course. Let her try. Yeah, of course. And then all the dirt's going to come out. We're going to let her go ahead and say, I'm running. So she has to leave this present job to run for that one. So once you do that, then we'll play chess with her and let all the dirt out that she has done. Not for the people and not by the people. Okay? I'm hoping she will run, you know, let her run and get all in there. And then we'll see what we can see. But we're going to show her.
Oh, you're a tough customer. Thank you so much for your call today. Muhammad from New York, you're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, hope all is going well. I think one of the benefits that will come from her as Attorney General, she'll get a chance to investigate some of the misbehavior of Governor Cuomo and the ex-president. So if she can uncover certain things, that'll just give her a little more exposure, and it'll just show that she's really advocate for truth and justice.
Well, she has had some unique opportunities before to show her skill. And I've talked about it here a couple of times. But they did not materialize. She did not pursue certain things. And I'm referring specifically to the drug manufacturers, the addictive drugs that they manufactured. And I talked about the hundreds of thousands of people affected by that. And as the state attorney general, she had an opportunity to prosecute and didn't. Instead, she sent out a news release praising herself for getting a whopping $1.1 billion put into a general fund that will go toward helping people overcome their addictions, which is not the point. The point is, you're the attorney general. Is it your view that a crime was committed here or not? And if there was a crime by these pharmaceutical companies, you did nothing about it. The press release, it will spell your name right and you'll get certain things out in the media, but it does nothing for the central question about crime and punishment and her role, her specific role in that regard.
That's true. The way she see it is her interrogating or questioning Trump possibly and Andrew Cuomo, that'll give her exposure and that'll give her more leverage in her next run. That's my particular point of view. What you said is true and correct.
Well, I don't know about that. You see, because people are following bad habits. You either have a credible campaign or you don't. You don't mount a campaign because of Trump or because of this other person. You mount a campaign because you have a very good reason to ask for public support because you have a plan. And you are very familiar with the history of what it is you're supposed to do. And you have had some successes in prosecuting. And we need it more than ever. And we should have instead from her any number of position papers on this question. But I think she's already decided to lessen the burden rather than start someplace new and make her case. She's deciding that, well, you knew me already. You know, you already knew me. So it should not be a big stretch for you to go into the voting booth and pull that lever that says Letitia James. We don't know how this will work out, but I think there's reason for concern about her candidacy because she had a fantastic opportunity to prosecute these errant drug manufacturers and distributors who accounted for a staggering death rate in New York State.
From their perspective, they're very careful in prosecuting them because those folks finance a lot of their campaigns, so they're a little skeptical when they do that. But thank you for hearing me today. And as young people said, true that. You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in. 888-874-4888. What is your opinion about Letitia James declaring, after having first declared that she was not going to run, changing her mind? What do you think might have caused that decision? And in your opinion, is it a good decision? Will it work out? Who knows? 888-874-4888. We have one more subject to touch on, but I'd like to hear your views on this particular question because it is very, very relevant. Because a number of things come into play here, and that people don't generally talk about in public. It's time. It's more than time to talk about these things. All right, well, if we do not have any new callers coming in at the moment, this might be a very good time to take a break. So we'll take a break and come back and proceed right after this. All right. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about some things that we should be talking about. We touched on, but we'll come back to that because more information by then would be available and we can make sense of it. And then I'm referring to the horrible situation in six states where we had so much damage because of, why is it? I can't remember the word now. The onslaught of I'm reading my own notes and I'm having difficulty reading. Everything is collapsing all at the same time. But the tornadoes, that's what I was looking for. The tornadoes. They are signaling something that should happen in this country long overdue. And not just this country, but other countries as well. But it was incredible suffering. And we need them to handle this. By them, I mean those who are policymakers and decision makers to handle this appropriately, urgently, and with fairness. And we've begun to talk about Letitia James, who was the State Attorney General of New York State, and she quit because she thought she would have a good shot at the governorship, and also because the governor kind of hamstrung himself with his conduct and is out. So she has a kind of, in her view, an embarrassment of riches, and she chooses to now proceed with her campaign for New York Attorney General once again. Does that make sense? Yes, in some ways it makes sense, but will it work out that way? We don't know. But it is something that is interesting, how in public life, some people are in overdrive. they just want everything. And it's kind of coming across like that a bit, that she is here and then she's there on the issue. And it sends a confusing message. But at the same time, there's nobody else on the horizon who is presenting credentials that would make one believe, well, she has competition. But you never know how these things would work out. It's a luck of the draw in a way. 888-874-4888. So the question we're dealing with is she making a good decision? A wise decision? Or is it kind of symptomatic of what happens when it's like a kid in the candy shop? You have too many things to choose from, so you don't know what to pick. And that kind of hints at a troubling instability in terms of making a decision and sticking with it. That could hurt if people were able to show that what drives her more than anything else is ambition, as opposed to what she can do best or how best she can serve the state of New York. But we will see. We shall see. She's entitled to change her mind, as she has. She has changed her mind, and she's put her hat in the ring again. And we'll see how she climbs this mountain this time. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I keep saying that, but I don't see anybody calling, not just yet. Okay. And I have a third issue, of course, that we need to talk about, and I want to get to that pretty soon. So you have some time to utilize the time allotted to this segment if you're calling in about Letitia James. If you were advising her, what would you advise her to do or to think about before she makes a final decision on this? She's pretty much kind of made a final decision, but there's still a chance that she would listen to advisors. And what would your advice be? Okay, so then we'll move on. And the third thing I want to talk about, and this is going to send you nuts. No, because it drove me nuts and I wrote it. And that is, I'll phrase it in the form of a question. What is the word that they won't say as regards Donald Trump? What is the word that they will not say? And why will they not say it? What's the word that even Donald Trump's sworn enemies won't tag him with in the epic battle for control of the White House and of Congress? What is the word nobody wants to say? Nobody is interested in saying it because it will come at a heavy price, that they may not even survive saying it if they in fact do say it. It's a very loaded word. And that's why it hasn't been said, because whoever says it will have to live with the fact that they said it. What is the word? What is the word that people are so afraid of attaching to Donald Trump and his supporters? And why wouldn't anybody coin the phrase? Why wouldn't anybody say it? Could you think of a reason? Could you think of the word? I don't think so. What is that word? Come on, folks. You know it. And you don't want to say it yourself. What is that word? 888-874-4888. It is a devastating word. And nobody wants to say it. Nobody has said it so far. And yet they want us to think that they're saying it, but they're not saying it. Could you think of this word and why people are astutely avoiding saying it? Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you, Teresa, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you, and good afternoon to you.
You, Trace, the only word that I can think of, and maybe it's because I'm using my own reference point, is that Donald Trump is mentally ill now. whether they think he's mentally ill and just won't say it, but that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, I agree with you there. I've been saying it for years. But that's not the word. That's not the word. There's a special word that should apply to him every time people discuss him and his movement and, you know, what he's trying to do. There's a special word for this.
The only other word I can think of is despot.
Is what? Despot.
Despot, yes.
Okay. No, that's not the word. I agree with you there, but that's not the word.
Well, then let me just make a couple of comments about Letitia James, because when I heard the announcement last week, the first thing that came to my mind is, yes, she has the prerogative to make her own independent decision. The question is whether that decision was an independent decision. The first thing I thought of was that that she was being a good party individual, and that she was deferring to the party because this is what the party wants, and she's being a good soldier.
Yeah, but that kind of runs its course rather quickly. She nonetheless feels hemmed in, suffocated, and she wants to break free, but on her terms, it seems to me. She wants to do something grand. And she hasn't yet done it. And she thinks she owes it to herself to do it.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I also know that she's very ambitious. And whatever plan she has for herself is in the context of the party. And so she can only elevate herself within the context of the party, which means she has to observe party rules, party norms, and party values.
Although she has an excellent opportunity, even if she wants to break with party rules, she will have, if she has the proper connection with her constituencies, her various constituencies, she would still be safe. But she doesn't come across as a person who thinks she's safe.
Well, see, that's where I would have to disagree with you, because within the context of her constituency, see, that's the operative word there, her constituency.
Yes.
If she's going to rely on her constituency, it's a gamble, and I don't think she's willing to make that gamble.
That's a good point. That's an excellent point, as a matter of fact. But we shall soon hear from her as to what her reasoning is, because I think people deserve a reason. Otherwise, she will come across as being trite and not serious enough to appreciate the complexity of what it is she's about to do or wants to do. Thanks, Patricia, for calling in.
And whenever she makes that statement, the question is, can we take that at face value?
Oh, well, you know, she is a politician.
Exactly. Exactly.
So the first order of business is survival.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot. John from New Jersey, you're on the air. Tell us the word, please.
I don't know if it's the word. It's the only word that comes to mind, whatever, besides moron. The only thing that comes to mind with him is that he's a racist. And that's the word.
No, that's not the word.
Okay.
Although he has amply displayed those tendencies, but there's a word. And nobody wants to use it.
Fascist?
Nobody wants to say it, and nobody feels that they could defend even themselves against it, although there's nothing wrong with it. But it's a loaded word, and this is the time we need to hear it. Okay, but good job.
You should go to the back.
Thank you for calling in. 888-874-4888. What do you say is this word? Why is there all around, doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, progressive, whatever, nobody wants to use this word. Nobody wants to be responsible for introducing this word in the discussion of Donald Trump's alleged or soon to be candidacy. Maria, you're back. Give us your idea. What is this word?
January 6th.
No. Sorry. It's not January 6th. That's not
the
word.
Well, it should be. Well, it shouldn't really be. It should be the second most violent word to describe him.
No, this word is a very powerful word. A very powerful word. Nobody wants to use it.
I don't think
everybody's terrified of using it. And yet it is the exact word that needs to be used.
Well,
but you made a good try, a good effort. So I give you props for that.
It's the second most powerful word for him.
His most powerful word is I and me and my. Thanks for calling back in. 888-874-4888. Come on, folks. You know this word. When I say it, you go, of course, that's the word. And then we have to have a discussion about the word and why it is not being used at all. No matter the party, no matter the person, no matter the critic, no matter the supporter, this word is not being used. Why? What is the problem with this word? I don't get it. Actually, I do. But it is amazing to see the reaction that people have. Those who are seasoned in politics, they wouldn't use this word at all. Absolutely not. And yet it is the perfect word to use to describe Donald Trump and his situation right now. Okay, we'll take a couple more calls and then we'll wrap it up. I can't believe that you don't know this word. Of course you know this word. It is a loaded word. Gary from Manhattan, what is the word?
Word is rapist.
Okay. No, that's not the word.
No.
That's not the word.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. That's not the word at all. Okay, I'll take a couple more calls. I'm waiting for you. You have me working, just hurrying up and wait. I would have thought absolutely we get this thing done. That's why I saved it for last, because I thought it was easy kind of giveaway question almost. What is this word that nobody would use in connection with Donald Trump? Gail from Queens, what is the word?
Cool.
I'm sorry?
Cool. As in
cool?
Yes, cool leader.
Cool leader.
As
no,
if,
that's not it. No, okay. That's not it.
Okay.
But you gave it a good try, so you get credit. You got some credit for that. You had some bravery in doing that. It is so appropriate. It is so vital to use this word, because it throws everything into perfect perspective. Gail from Queens. Oh, we had Gail from Queens. I just did.
Right.
All right, we're coming down to the wire now. So somebody better give us this word before we have to go. What is this word? Nobody wants to use it. Nobody has so far. Not in public. Noel, you're on the air from New York.
The sexual, alleged sexual impropriety?
No. No. No, that's not it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Good try, but that's not it. The minute I give you this word, you go, of course, I knew that all the time. It is so evident that nobody wants to be even close, remotely close to this word, attached to this word, identified with this word, and Donald Trump. Nobody. And yet it is like a the crux of the matter. The crux of the matter, this word exemplifies. All right, I'll give you two more minutes and then we wrap up. What is this word? And that's the word that should frame what Donald Trump and his minions are trying to do. What is that word? That's a discussion this nation needs to have. Bruce from New York, what do you say?
Okay, I would give it a one for the road. Traitor.
Okay.
To his state and his nation.
No.
Got to be but close to it.
You're embodying certain of the sentiments that belong with this word, but that's not the word.
Okay, that was my college try.
You gave it a good try. Okay, so while I don't have any new callers in right now, it's a good time to tell you this word. The word that I'm talking about that nobody will touch, nobody would consign to Donald Trump and his minions, and even to anyone in a position to deal with the reality and the impact of this word. It's a very heavy word. The word is sedition. This president has openly engaged and has encouraged his followers to engage in sedition, which is a crime. To promote the destruction of the government, which is sedition, is a very serious crime. Now, he could defend himself against anything that he wants to. He has the gift of gab. But when you start talking sedition, you're not gabbing anymore. We're talking real now, because we're talking about the law, and we're talking about heavy and certain punishment for all or anyone engaging in seditious acts. But suddenly nobody sees that this is sedition. There's no mention of it, even among the great thinkers of the world. They're talking about Trump's attitudes and his opinions and blah, 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 blah. That is minor stuff. Sedition is a big deal. And if Trump comes up on charges, comes up in the court facing charges of sedition, you wouldn't have this casual attitude that he's playing with people and manipulating them. There's nothing to play with when you're talking sedition. Trust me, nobody in their right mind wants to be charged with sedition, least of all a former president of the country, to be charged formally with trying to destroy and undermine the country. That is a legitimate charge in my view, and I'm amazed that no one has raised it. I'm amazed that no legal entity has raised it and not pursuing prosecution along those lines. Let him play with that one for a minute. When you charge someone with sedition, that is as serious as it gets. It's worse than a court martial. But, you know, they're giving him a break. No matter what happens, they just can't bring themselves to saying what he has done and is doing, what he has encouraged his supporters to do, and even people who worked for him to do, to establish a web of sedition, to undermine the government and ultimately to destroy it through sedition. Well, that's it. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.